Welcome. Hola. Bienvenidos. Bonjour et bienvenue to the Social Network Show. Welcome to the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. We give you actionable information to make your social networking the best it can be for business to business, business to consumer, and for folks who just like to post. And now, broadcasting from the studios of the Hank Greenspoon School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, the host of the Social Network Show, Jim Nico, and Dr. Jane Kawaski.
Welcome to the Social Network Show, and thank you for listening today. You are always our most important guest. This is our show from KUNV, Las Vegas at UNLV. And this is your host, Jane Karwoski. I'm an experimental psychologist joined by Jim Nico, founder and CEO of our parent company, Social Network Intermedia. You will be hearing today from Crime Fighter Guy. That is the Twitter handle, at Crime Fighter Guy, of Canadians Darren and Beth Lore. They have been in the business of promoting personal safety since 1993, when they started Personal Protection Systems Incorporated. Darren is staff sergeant with the Victoria, British Columbia City Police Department with over 28 years of law enforcement experience with a strong background in online and social media investigations. He is an internationally and court-recognized safety expert and advocate, award-winning author, and sought-after keynote speaker on the topics of personal safety and self-protection, both online and offline. Just a year ago, Darren, Beth, and their son Brandon won the Derek K. Miller Award, which recognized their unique work in the area of internet and social media safety, both in Canada and the United States. To date, their presentations and advice delivered to over 200 mid-schools and high schools have been life-saving for at least 79 teens contemplating self-harm, showing them the way out of seemingly hopeless situations due to cyber abuse. Welcome to the Social Network Show, Darren.
Thank you very much, and great to be here.
Darren, thank you so much. And to be aligned with you and your work, and we have so much respect, we hope to do anything we can to help you and continue.
Thank you, sir.
I am really impressed with the fact that you've been at this over 20 years.
It's one of those things. Law enforcement pulls you in a variety of different directions, but you know the big issue here is I've seen too much victimization in my career. So I made a decision that we need to get out there and educate in an open, honest, and very realistic way, especially to our youth, and especially in today's world where they're all online right now.
Well, let's cut right to the chase there. What is it that you share with these kids that brings them back from the brink of suicide or self-harm?
It's what I share with them is a very powerful presentation in which I convince them that it gets better and that talking makes it better, that talking is a sign of strength. It's not a sign of weakness. Of the 79 youth that we've now helped or saved, over half of them said that they believe that by coming forward and talking to somebody about it, their friends would label them as little babies, little girlies, little boys. Oh, you can't deal with this yourself. And then I share with them that in my career, I've had a variety of different very bad things happen in my career where I had to talk to somebody to make it better because talking makes it better. And then it allows me to connect with the youth. And once I connect with them, they then trust me. They know, because I make them the promise in my presentation, that if they need somebody to talk to, if they need somebody to listen, I will be that person and I will help them make it better. And that's my promise.
So you're not just giving them resources in the sense of, well, here's a helpline you can call or here's a website you can go to. You're offering your own personal help?
I'm doing both, actually. I give them lots of resources here in Canada or when I'm in the U.S. presenting U.S. resources. But what I find a lot of times is that the kids will use me as the first step in that recovery process. Because they know who I am, they will reach out to me. And they all know that once they reach out to me, especially those who are self-harming, that I will follow up with the schools, with the parents, with local law enforcement, whoever it is. But they trust because they know me, because they heard me, because I've made that promise to them, they'll reach out to me in that first step. And then from there, we start that recovery process, which is extremely important.
That warms my heart because I spent almost 20 years as a crisis intervention expert doing very similar work. And mm-hmm. I was the guy that after the day job of working with the mentally ill, et cetera, and the addicted or whatever, I was the guy that was on call that when they were into the self-harm mode, that I got the call. And then the psychiatrist was there to back me up if I needed him. But I found exactly the same thing. I have ultimate admiration for you because when I was able to make a contract, for example, with a suicidal kid, et cetera, or adult, and the contract said, look, you're not going to harm yourself. We're going to make a deal here until you go in and see your therapist on Monday. Well, very often I would meet him at the door. And that personal, as you know, and you're the first person I've met that did that same thing that I did, was that basically when they had that, that you really care, when they knew we cared and they knew that we were available, I think it made the difference, you know.
It makes a huge difference. And I think the other thing, too, is what's really cool about our youth today, the big change that I've seen online in the past year and a half to 2 years is how our kids, how our youth, tweens, teens, and young adults are now becoming digital first responders themselves. So in other words, I'm having a lot of youth now connecting with me, stating that they're now in contact with a friend online who's thinking about taking their lives, and they don't know what to do. So they'll immediately connect with me and say, Darren, what should I do here? And then I provide them with that information. So a good example, just this weekend or past weekend, Save 79 was as a result of a young girl who was in high school here in Canada who took a picture of a bunch of pills in a bathroom that she was going to take because she was going to commit suicide that night. She sent those pictures to a couple of her friends. Her friends who heard me speak the day before immediately connected with me online saying, Darren, what should I do? This young, our friend, she's going to kill her, so we don't know what to do. Well, I was immediately able to counsel those young people to connect with their parents, to connect with law enforcement, so that we could immediately do an intervention on that young girl. And that's exactly what happened, as an intervention took place, and she was able to be taken to hospital where she was given care. And today she's getting better, right? And and that's what's really cool is that our kids are now becoming these digital first responders. They're becoming those gatekeepers to help one another, but they need somebody to reach out to, because one of the things I say to them is that, you know, our teens, our kids, they can only do so much, right? They want to help one another, but there comes a point in time where a teen can only do so much, and that they have to now hand that baton over to a trusted adult to take over. And I've become that bridge. I've become that adult that they can now connect to for advice. And once I provide them with that device, they are now taking off of it and doing exactly what they need to do to help their friends out. And that is really cool with what our kids are doing online right now.
What is the contact information you share during your presentations?
Yeah, the contact information, I share them everything from the Youth Helpline up here to youthspace.ca, where kids can go online and talk digitally, not over the phone, because a lot of the kids that I talk to, they really don't want to talk over the phone. They'd rather do it via text. Mm-hmm. So we give them a lot of those sites, but they can also reach out to me on my White Hatter page on Facebook, and that's where they'll send me messages. And again, if you ever suggested to me that when I first started doing my presentations that we would become an outreach for our youth, I'd laugh at you, but we have. But it's not just become an outreach for our youth. It's now become an outreach for law enforcement, parents, teachers. It is amazing the different types of questions now that I'm getting from participants who take our program about all kinds of questions specifically to the online safety world and even offline. I mean, a good example of that, we had a couple of youth connect with me a couple of weeks ago saying, you know, the police checked us at a party. They took our names. They put in a notebook. Does that mean we have a criminal record now? No, it doesn't, right? But so it's really cool that the kids are trusting me. And I think the reason they do that is that because in my presentation, I don't talk at the kids. I talk with the kids. There's a difference. I speak their language and I speak the truth. I don't treat them with kid-like hands. I speak the truth to them and I treat them like young adults. And because of that, it helps me to build rapport. And once I've built that rapport, they now have that trust and they will now reach out for help, which is really cool.
On Facebook, so your name on Facebook is White Hatter.
The White Hatter, yeah, White on Hatter. Facebook.
And what about Twitter? Is there a way there? Is there a bridge to you there?
Yeah, a lot of the kids will connect with me on Twitter. You know, there's another organization that's doing some really cool work in Ontario up here in Canada. And they're kind of doing the same thing now, where healthcare providers and law enforcement are now turning to Twitter as that frontline first contact, especially with those who are, come from or just in front, from different walks of life, and it's really cool. So the kids can also connect with me on Twitter.
What's
as well.
What's the handle on Twitter?
It's at Crime Fighter Guy.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you.
So when you're pondering new ways of using social networks and social media in general for help to maybe even prevent situations, have you been able to use that in law enforcement as a staff sergeant there at Victoria City?
Yeah, you know what's really cool is we were the first department in Canada to use Twitter for the purposes of crowdsourcing during Canada Day events, which is very similar to your Independence Day in the United States.
Uh-huh.
And so here in the downtown city core of Victoria, we can have hundreds of thousands of people in the downtown core. So one of the ideas I had 2 years ago is, well, why don't we use social media, specifically Twitter, to help crowdsource? Because we are the police, and the police are the public and the public are the police. So why don't we get the public involved and have them be our eyes and ears during this event, so that if they see things that are causing them the concern that could lead to violence during the event, they could immediately connect with us via Twitter. And then from that point on, we could now dispatch our units to interdict issues before they became explosive. And we ran it for the first time 2 years ago, and it went so well. We ran it last year. It went extremely well again. We're not going to be doing this every year. And the public love it because they become the eye and ears of the police. They are becoming involved in keeping their event safe. And Twitter allowed us to do that extremely well.
So do you have a well, I'll tell you what. We probably will take that up in the next segment. And for now, we're going to be back with Darren Lohr of Personal Protection Systems, who is at Crime Fighter Guy on Twitter.
Questions? Comments? Email us at questions@thesocialnetworkshow.com. We'll be right back.
This moment of uncontrollable laughter was made possible by a 32-year-old man with little to no coordination attempting to execute a simple cartwheel. His name is Sergeant Warner, but young James, our laughing friend here, simply calls him Dad. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Now, back to the Social Network Show.
Welcome back to the Social Network Show, where I and Jim Nico are talking to Darren Lohr of Victoria, British Columbia, Canada. And we have been talking about ways that that law enforcement has been using social networks. And one really major advance that Darren has been telling us about is how the RCMP, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, have located the aggressor in Amanda Todd's cyber abuse. Darren, can you fill us in, bring us up to date on that?
Yeah, the news broke basically yesterday, where an individual, a Dutch national over in Europe, was arrested. And the RCMP did a huge press release yesterday to say that since the death of Amanda, they've been working very, very closely, both nationally and internationally, with a variety of different law enforcement agencies, which have now resulted in an arrest of an individual who now, here in Canada, the RCMP had laid five specific charges, and they're looking to have him, after he's dealt with his charges where he is, to be brought into Canada to answer to those charges. So we're still in the very beginning. But, you know, one of the things that I want to share with people is that there were a lot of people that were very critical of the RCMP because they weren't saying a lot. But what a lot of people don't know is that in policing, in order to keep the integrity of a file so that it will survive court scrutiny in front of a judge or a jury, we can't talk about what we're doing within the public realm. We have to stay quiet on this issue. And it was very unfair, in my opinion, that a lot of people attacked the RCMP saying that they weren't doing anything, because we know they were. And as a result of that, their hard work and dedication to this file has now led to an individual being arrested and now facing five counts here in Canada. And there's a strong hope that he will be brought back to Canada to answer to those charges. But, you know, one of the things I say in my seminars to the youth is that if they're haters and they're trolls online and they're saying and doing things that are going to cause young people to self-harm or even to take their life, you know what? You can run, you can hide. But we in law enforcement are getting pretty good at what it is that we're doing. And eventually we'll be able to connect those breadcrumbs, because unlike CSI, where they can solve a crime on TV in an hour, when it comes to solving online crime, it could take us a couple of years to put those digital breadcrumbs together. But trust me when I say, especially when it comes to youth who are taking their lives because of these haters and trolls, we will take the time that we need to ensure that we connect those breadcrumbs together. And I think the RCMP and all the other international law enforcement partners that help the RCMP are excellent examples of how dedication has ended up in an arrest.
Well, I want to thank you. And we recognize the excellent work and dedication of law enforcement. And also, I'd like to mention that Carol Todd, Amanda's mom, is on our advisory board. We did a one-hour special. She flew into Las Vegas, and we filmed that. And Carol has been a big part of our inspiration, as Rehtaeh Parsons and others, Audrey Pott, those girls that died unnecessarily. I also want to thank Sandy Garasino, former prosecutor, who's worked very closely with us. So we've been working on this side, too, with Carol and Sandy. So thank you so much, because they finally got him.
Damn. Yeah, and the, you know, that thanks really goes out to those men and women in the RCMP and those other international law enforcement partners who came together to focus in and get these individuals. And again, it just goes to prove that you can run, you can hide, but we in law enforcement are getting pretty good at what we do. And, you know, all the thanks to the RCMP for doing what they did. So,
well, and one thing too, Darren, that would be very helpful is I hope that we can get a link to the show to you too, that they hear the show, that we do appreciate them, that they realize that Carol is with us on our board and that we're ongoing. We're living this, you know, so we'll get that to you, you know.
And that's a part of the educational process. Again, that's what we fight in law enforcement. A lot of people watch CSI on TV, and they think that that's how it's done. And, you know, just from an investigative standpoint, because we knew we in law enforcement have to be able to prove that the person who pushed that send button is the person that we have before that judge and jury. And online crime, it's a little different than the real world crime, and it takes a little longer, if not a lot longer, to put those little digital breadcrumbs, those pieces of the puzzle together. But here's a good example where, you know, the Mounties term, they always get their man. Well, guess what? They got their man, right? So
amazing.
As a childhood fan of Dudley Do Right, I agree.
And I'm a city police officer, so us and the RCMP, we're always going back and forth as to who the better cops are. They did a great job. Great, great job.
Well, for those that maybe are not as familiar with the specifics of the case with Amanda, the perpetrator had been tracking her from school to school and infiltrating the Facebook groups of her classmates and developing a bullying type situation, even in the physical world. I prefer to call it the physical world because I believe cyberspace is absolutely every bit as real as the physical world. And the it was a very gruesome case of an adult going after a young person. And then there's the aspect of the sexual stalking that can occur online. And also, I know that the University of New Hampshire has a center of research for child crimes against children. And one of the things they emphasize is that the majority of cases where young people are victimized often are not the stranger or the adult perpetrator that's going out looking after them, but other young people that they know.
Yeah, you nailed it, right? You know, one of the things that I say is stranger danger doesn't work. No matter how hard you talk to children, don't talk to strangers. Uh-huh. They're going to do it anyways. We got to get away from teaching stranger danger, and we got to start teaching situational danger, right? But you've nailed it. I have found in my investigations as well, where I help young people, that the aggressor, the online aggressor, is usually somebody who they either know, love, or trust. It's not going to be the stranger who they've never met. Are those a reality? Sure they are, but they're more of a rarity, right? Most of these kids that are falling victim to sexual exploitation online, in a lot of cases, the aggressor, the individual, somebody who they know, love, or trust.
Right. And so if we want to know more about this from your point of view, and you also have published a book, Total Awareness, a Woman's Safety Book, which is good for men and women, of course. But
it is.
Those things, with our emphasis on empowering women and girls, that's an important thing to let our listeners know about, all of which is available at your website, which is
www.personalprotectionsystems.ca. So www.personalprotectionsystems.ca.
Okay, and that is Darren Lohr, and we appreciate your being with us today on the Social Network Show. Thank you so much for this insight, and we hope to continue working with you in the future. That is at Crime Fighter Guy.
And I look forward to working closely with you as well.
You've been listening to the Social Network Show, the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. Coming to you from the studios of the Hank Greenspan School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Listen to archived shows and follow us on Twitter. The views expressed on the Social Network Show are those of the hosts and guests and may not be the views of Social Network Intermedia. The Social Network Show is produced by Social Network Intermedia, copyright 2012.